So I'm going to fill in a little bit of detail from the presentation that Scott Martin gave earlier about what we know about neonicotinoid resistance and tobacco thrips. And the story started, as Scott relayed, back in 2012, 2013, with reports of less than optimal control in thymotoxin seed-treated cotton. That led to preliminary bioassays of foliage cotton, that is seedlings, but they were dipped in neonic treatments, and then thrips from several locations were caged on those seedlings, and the result of that indicated that there was some increased tolerance, at least, to thymotoxin. So that's not the normal exposure that thrips get when they feed are infesting seed-treated cotton. They have to feed on that cotton in order to be exposed to the insecticide. So that prompted the development of a diet-based assay that Syngenta then undertook or used in an extensive survey to test populations from across the Southeast and the Mid-South during 2014. And so I'm going to give you some details about the results of that survey and some follow-up activities. So the diet-based assay that we used basically exposed the thrips to the toxin only when they fed on a diet that consisted of 3% sucrose in distilled water, laced with thymotoxin or imidacloprid. The diet contained a green dye to help them encourage the thrips to feed on it. And basically, you put the treated dye in the cap of the 1.5 centimeter microcentrifuge tube, and you cover that with stretched parafilm, and you seal that parafilm so that the diet doesn't leak out. You aspirate thrips, in our case, five adult female tobacco thrips per tube, and then put the diet-laced cap on that tube, and then hold it at 48 hours. At 27 degrees, and then score the number of survivors. In these assays, we always use five adult females per tube and 10 tubes per concentration of insecticide. So insects then were collected from throughout the Mid-South and Southeast production regions. We actually did some detailed assays on 42 populations, 42 populations from different locations. These span nine states, and they were collected from cotton, peanuts, weeds, and wheat. We did preliminary diagnostic assays using a diagnostic dose that had been developed by comparing some of the previously identified resistant populations and their response at particular doses with the response of the laboratory colony that I had maintained for several years, which we knew was susceptible to both of these neonicotinoids. The diagnostic concentration that we had identified that would separate these and that we used in making the classifications that I'm going to show you was 360 parts per million of the formulated product. Cruiser was the formulation for thymotoxin that we used, and Gaucho the formulation for imidacloprid. Populations that showed greater than 12% survival at 360 parts per million of either of these compounds were classified as suspect resistant at the time and then sent to me at NC State, where they were subjected to further testing. The initial tests were conducted by Kevin Langdon at Syngenta's Vero Beach facility, and he got buried in samples of thrips and had to deal with them in a very short time turnaround time so that thrips were still alive when they reach my lab. So this is just a snapshot of the locations where we had collections that I'm going to report data for today, and you can see it spanned the production areas from the Mid-South to the Southeast. I show here LC50 values from a portion of these populations for which we fully completed analysis of the data. And there's a couple of points I want to make here. The reference population is shown in the lower left-hand portion of this graph. That's the lab population. The LC50 for that population for cruiser or thymotoxin was 1.4 parts per million. We had two populations from in this group that were classified as susceptible in the initial field screening bioassay or preliminary bioassay with the diagnostic dose. And the average of those two populations, average LC50 was 71 parts per million. There are a couple of other populations that were comparable, and so they're shown basically hugging that line that I show at 71 parts per million. But what you can see is that there are some populations that have very high LC50 values in the neighborhood of 300. There are others that are in the 100 to 200 range and are clearly different. All of those populations are different from the lab populations. Now recall, we can't say how this translates to field performance, but again, recall that what initiated this whole study was issues with respect to field performance, and that started piqued the interest for looking at this situation. Now, if we express those resistance, LC50 values rather, as resistance ratios relative to the laboratory population, you see the graph that I have here. The orange lines on each end of that graph represent populations that were identified in the field with the initial screen as susceptible. And so you see resistance ratios are quite high in some populations and intermediate in others. One point I want to make here is that regardless of what host those populations were collected from then subsequently tested, we see the same basic range of response to the bioassays, and this is the resistance ratios. And so regardless of whether these came from cotton, weeds, or wheat, we saw some populations that had high resistance ratios and some that had relatively lower resistance ratios. That last slide, I think, indicates that this elevated resistance is present and widespread in the field, or at least abundant in the field, even from thrips that are not collected from cotton that may have been pretreated with thiamethoxam. Now, if you look at this slide, this is just a quick shot putting those LC50 values on the map, as it were. The bigger the dot, the higher the LC50 values. And this is not for all of the populations that we looked at, but for those for which we've fully completed analysis of the dose response data. And you see we've got populations across the region that have levels of resistance demonstrable by dose response ratios or dose response functions. We also looked at those same populations for their response to gaucho or imidacloprid, because we didn't have enough thrips to do these full dose responses against both imidacloprid and thiamethoxam in a timely manner. We used only four doses for imidacloprid. That was 45, 90, 180, and 360 parts per million of formulated product. And when you look at the data from this and the data from the imidacloprid assays, you see that we were able to document identify populations that had elevated levels of resistance to both gaucho and to cruiser. And I want to show you a couple of slides here that illustrate this point. On the left, or rather on the x-axis, you see concentrations of the product, which are in parts per million. The y-axis is percent mortality. The vertical arrow going downward illustrates where on that concentration axis the cruiser or thiamethoxam LC50 lies. That's also shown in text above the red arrow that has points on both ends. And that just is on the 50% response line, just to illustrate the difference between the cruiser response and the LC50 the LC50 response of cruiser and the response of the gaucho test, which is shown in the blue line. And so you can see where that crosses the 50% line. Now, that's not a good true estimate of the LC50 value, but it's kind of an indicator of the region where it would lie. And so here you see a situation where you have greater resistance, a higher LC50, if you will, for cruiser than you do for gaucho. Now, this is a situation where you have higher resistance to gaucho than you have with cruiser. You can see the LC50 for cruiser is 97, and it's quite a bit higher for gaucho. And here's one where it looks like you have high resistance to both. So I want to look at the data now from the survey that is this, the diagnostic dose data from the initial survey. And this I show on the right-hand side box plots for populations that were classified as susceptible in both of the diagnostic dose assays, that is the one for cruiser and the one for thiamethoxam, or for, excuse me, gaucho. And the other box plot is, the box plot with the colored dots, the red and the orange, are those that were classified as suspect and had greater survival in the diagnostic assay than did than 12%. The green dots in that box plot are susceptible class populations, is susceptible to both of the assays. Okay, so here we had 22 of 42 populations were resistant and would fall in the red or the orange dots. Now, for populations that were classified as susceptible in those assays, the mean survival in the cruiser assay was 7%. If you look at the survival of those that are classified only as resistant to cruiser and not to gaucho in that set of preliminary assays at 360 parts per million, you have a mean survival of 30%. And that would be the orange dots. And then you have those populations that were classified as resistant to both cruiser and gaucho, and those would be the red dots. And the mean survival there was 35% at 360 parts per million. Now, if you look at the same data display, except that plotted in the box plots is the response to the gaucho assay, and that's survival in the gaucho assay, you see a somewhat different appearance. You see populations that were found to be or considered to be resistant to cruiser had a higher likelihood of also being resistant to gaucho. And 33% of the population sampled were resistant to both of the materials. Survival in those classified as susceptible in the gaucho assay, or those that were classified in both of the assays as susceptible, showed only 3% survival in the gaucho assay. Those that were classified as resistant to cruiser in only in the preliminary assays had a 6.1% survival in the gaucho assay. And those that were classified as resistant to both in at 360 part per million assay had a mean percent survival of 28% in the gaucho assay at 360 parts per million. So if we put these now on the map, you get you can see where the populations that were susceptible were. These are in green, the populations that were resistant to cruiser only in orange, those resistant to gaucho only, and there's actually two shown here, but there's one buried. And then you have those that were resistant to both. And what you see is, first I want to point out, that you have susceptible populations scattered throughout in all of the areas, and then you see resistant populations also scattered throughout. But there's a preponderance of resistant populations in the Delta area. 60% of the population surveyed in the Delta production area were resistant, whereas 35% of the population surveyed outside of that area were resistant. So just to summarize, resistance found to both thiamethoxam and imidacloprid, although we can't translate these data directly into field performance. We have high levels of resistance in populations collected from weeds, wheat, and cotton, and we have significant levels of resistance present in some populations in Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, and Tennessee. And then we saw resistance levels varied a lot between states, also within states, but we found the highest levels of resistance in the Delta production area, and we found the resistant populations were most prevalent in the Mississippi Delta area. So with that, if you have any questions, be glad to answer them if we have time.
We have time for one question.
His bioassay was the same bioassay as mine, different populations.
Thank you.